Well, good morning. I'm going to start this morning by asking you a question. How often do you think about your own baptism? It may be that your family have reminded you of its importance by celebrating each year by lighting the candle that you were given. It may be that you learned to appreciate it later as an adult, perhaps when you came to confirmation. Maybe seeing your own children or someone else's children be baptized crystallized for you the importance of your own baptism. Or maybe you haven't been baptized and rarely think about it because it doesn't seem to make any real difference to your life. I do wonder how often most people think about their baptisms and about the significance that their baptism holds for their day-to-day life. And if we're going to be honest, probably not all that much. For many people, it was simply a ritual that was important to their parents. If they marry someone of similar faith and have children, they may well decide to have their children baptized, and it may be simply to carry on the tradition. But day in and day out, I'm guessing that very few people give baptism all that much thought. The reason I'm asking these things, of course, is because this Sunday is the day that we remember Jesus' own baptism, as we've just heard read to us. And that text from Mark offers us the opportunity to think a little more deeply and to claim more fully the promises that were made over us at our baptism. See, this text is all about new beginnings. Mark writes about the baptism of Jesus at the very beginning of his gospel. If you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see that the very first words of his gospel are the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. And he goes straight on to describe John the Baptist preparing the way and baptizing Jesus. At the start of Mark's gospel and those words, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, rather echo the words we heard from Genesis, don't they? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's Spirit once moved, hovered over the waters, while God spoke and caused heaven and earth to come into being. So also at the baptism of Jesus, God's Spirit moved over the waters, and God spoke, his voice declaring Jesus to be his Son, whom he loved. That was the beginning of a whole new creation. This event, Jesus' baptism, is the very beginning of his active ministry on earth. We know very little about what happened to him up to that point. We know a few bits and pieces about his childhood, but actually very little. From this point on, we hear about event after event, encounter after encounter. We learn of his teaching. We learn of his prayer life. We learn of his life with his disciples. We learn of his encounters with hostility, his encounters with the authorities. And it all starts from this point, when God the Father speaks love and delight over him. It all begins with God. And I think that's one of the most important things that I took from this passage when I was reading through it, because God's love comes first. It's not because of anything Jesus has done, but because of who he is and who God is. You see, up to this point, Jesus actually hasn't done very much. He hasn't survived the wilderness and its temptations. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't done any teaching. No one's been raised from the dead. No miracles have been performed. He's not been crucified or resurrected. So what did Jesus do at this point? Well, he showed up. He showed up to be baptized and to let truth be spoken, and it was. The Father named Jesus his Son. He called him beloved. He expressed his pleasure in him. What had Jesus done to get or to cause that? Nothing. It was a gift freely given that Jesus himself had made no actions to earn. Jesus was just there, and the Father spoke love and truth over him. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That's the baptism into which you and I were baptized. Even though we can only be baptized the once, these are waters to which we can return again and again. That's one of the reasons that we celebrate the baptism of Christ each year. We return to remember and to claim once again the baptismal promises in our lives, the truth that is over our lives. Because that love and that delight that God declared over Jesus on the day he was baptized was declared over you too. You are loved by God. You are an absolute delight to him, regardless of what you have or haven't done. I think sometimes it's quite hard for us to remember that and to truly feel that, isn't it? To believe that God can love us despite all the rubbishy stuff that we do and think. But even if you don't know that or believe that for yourself right now, this minute, today, I think you probably know and understand what I'm talking about. You've seen it with new parents. You may have done it to a child. It's what your parents, your grandparents did to you. It's what you may have done if you are a parent or a grandchild. You've picked a child, a baby, up. You've held him or her close. And you've said, I love you. You are beautiful. You are perfect. You kissed that child, called his or her name, and declared your pleasure. So tell me, what did that child do to make itself good, acceptable, lovable? What did the child do to cause you to behave in that way? Absolutely nothing. He or she was there, and you spoke a truth from deep within you. Earlier on in our service, we sang that song, God, you search me and you know me. The words from this song are taken from Psalm 139. And here are some of the words as written in the psalm. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. As Alison said, God knew us totally, intimately, completely before we were even born. And in the same way that we will hold a tiny baby and look at him or her and say, you are beautiful, you are perfect, I love you. God looks at us and he says, you are beautiful, you are perfect, I love you. That is the truth that God declares over us. So to remember the waters of our baptism returns us to the truth that God knows about us even when we don't know it for ourselves, even when we don't believe it, even when we've forgotten the truth, when we can't see it in the world around us, when we've denied it, when we've acted in a way that's contrary to that truth. He loves us. He delights in us. He calls us his precious children. And this truth drowns out all the other voices that speak untruth about us and about each other. This truth washes away apathy and indifference. It emboldens and strengthens us. It renews hope. It refreshes the weary. It opens our eyes that we can see ourselves and each other in a new light, the light of that first day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Baptism is about a new beginning, a new day. Parents and godparents claim for a child the start of a new life in Christ. If we are baptized as adults, we make that claim for ourselves. We become a new creation, just as that first day in Genesis was created. But the wonderful thing is that because of God's love for us, because of his delight in us, every day can be that new day. We're offered a new beginning whenever and wherever we need it. Earlier on in our service, we made our confession to God and we heard the words of absolution spoken, reminding us of God's love and his forgiveness, taking the grubbiness of our sin and washing us clean, giving us a new beginning, a new day. Today is a new day, a day with as much brightness and as much promise as that first day of creation. Now, none of this necessarily makes life easy. It doesn't magically fix life's problems or the world's problems. But instead, it does reveal life to be holy and sacred and worth the effort. It lets us start from a new place and a different truth, because where we begin will affect where we end up. And if we begin with God and we begin knowing of God's love for us, his deep and overwhelming love for us, then that cannot help but affect where we go and what we do. Our lives will be different. It'll affect how we see other people, because we become aware that other people too are beloved children of God. Jesus' baptism didn't magically fix all his problems and make his life easy. In fact, he went straight from his baptism into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. But he went into the wilderness with the words of God's love and approval ringing in his ears. Nothing could better help him to cope with what he was about to face than the knowledge that he belonged to God and that he was loved. There is nothing that will better help us to cope with whatever it is life has to throw at us than the knowledge that we belong to God and that we are loved. And when we're loved, we love right back, don't we? Being loved makes us more loving people. Look at the life of Jesus himself again and again, as Jesus casts out demons, heals the sick, feeds the hungry, welcomes the outcast. He is simply doing to others what has been done to him, telling them by word and by deed that they are loved, beloved children of God. And it's so important that we remember, because the truth of God's love and his delight is just that. It is truth. Not because of anything we've done. Not because we're baptized. It's not by being baptized that makes God love you. Your baptism is the opportunity for you to declare that you are God's and that you love God, and for God to declare his love for you, the love that was already there, the delight that was already there, the pride that was already there. You are my child whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. Whether you have been baptized in the church yet or not, that love, that delight, that pride is already there. It all begins with God, because God's love comes first. So what's our response? Well, perhaps like Jesus, when we accept that God loves us, when we claim that truth for ourselves, it will affect everything we do. It'll affect the people we come into contact with, as we show others the love and the acceptance that's been lavished on us. We too can look after the sick, the hungry, the outcasts. We too can tell by word and deed to other people that they are beloved children of God. To be baptized into Christ is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember what John said in that reading, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives are transformed. Our lives are different. To be baptized into Christ is to follow Christ, to offer our lives to him, to try and live our lives out in his way, rather than always putting ourselves first and the things that we want first. We don't always get it right. We sometimes get it spectacularly wrong. But because God's love and acceptance isn't dependent on us getting it right every time, because God's love comes first, before we have done anything, we always have the promise of a new start, a new beginning, a new day. Today is a new day, with all the possibility and all the promise of that first day. May today be a new beginning for each one of us as we claim for ourselves the truth of those words. You are my child whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Amen.